This is the Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director for the CTF. This week on the big show, I'm joined by two of my dear friends. We've got Franco Terrazano. He's our federal director. He's there in Ottawa holding down the fort. And special treat this week, Gage Hobrick. He is our prairie director. Gage has some really interesting carbon tax stuff for us. So, but first, dear listener, let us take you back a little bit in time. Remember that whole fight that was happening between the Prime Minister's office and the Parliamentary Budget Office over the carbon tax? You know, somehow magically the PMO was saying that the carbon tax is making us all richer, a chicken in every pot. Well, of course, common sense dictated that that was not true. You cannot slap a tax on the basic fuels of life in our economy and make everybody richer. Turns out the actual Trudeau government's own data from the Ministry of Environment and Climate Change, yes, that's what it's called now, shows that this is actually a big hit to our economy. Now, I gotta say, just, you know, comms moment, who doesn't have a degree in economics here, when I took a look at some of this data, it was a bit mind-boggling. The spreadsheets on this thing were just hundreds of pages thick. So our crack team here at the Taxpayers Federation dug into this, which is why we have Gage here to talk to Franco, frankly, about these numbers. Gage, what's the top line thing here? What is the cost of the carbon tax to the Canadian economy? What did you find?
So, to give you the big number up front, this year, the carbon tax is going to cost the economy $12 billion in Canada. You know, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but it was a huge spreadsheet that we got from the government. It took us a while to break down all these numbers, but, you know, that's what they pay me for. So it's good to dig in there and actually find out the cost. Because, you know, when we go to the gas station, the carbon tax is costing our wallets, but it kind of goes under the radar a little bit when you think about how much it's actually reducing that economic activity, and that hurts everybody else even more. So we had that $12 billion number that the carbon tax is going to cost us all this year. We flash forward to 2030, which is where the government says that's where the current carbon tax hikes are going to rise. But I don't know if we can trust them on that one. It's going to be $30 billion to the economy in 2030. So obviously that's a big number. It hurts us all. But it also goes down to the provinces and talks about all the different provinces are going to hurt. So, you know, those provinces that have the oil and gas can hurt a little more, a lot of farming, stuff that costs a lot of fuel. So just rattle off a couple numbers for you. This year, we're going to talk about British Columbia. We're going to see $1.7 billion cost their economy, about $300 per person. In Alberta, a little bit higher, $1.8 billion per person, $372 per person. In Saskatchewan, $476 million. That's going to be about $400 per person. Manitoba, $216 million, $150 per person, and that's in just Western Canada. So we keep moving on. We go to Ontario. We got a really big number. Everybody lives in Ontario. $4.1 billion this year, and that's going to be about $260 per person. Moving to Quebec, we get $3.2 billion, $360 per person. And we get the Atlantic provinces. They're a little bit smaller, so you know the numbers aren't as high. We get $137 million to the economy in New Brunswick, $103 million in Nova Scotia, and then $22 million in Prince Edward Island, and then up to $143 million in Newfoundland to the economy. And that's just this year, all those costs, those provinces.
That is a staggering amount of money and a lot of numbers. Franco, so what does this mean in normal people talk when we get this massive amount of data dumped on us and it's saying, oh, it's costing the economy this amount of money, or it's costing the GDP this amount of money? What does that mean to like a normal working person?
Well, essentially, so when you hear that the carbon tax is going to cost the Canadian economy $12 billion this year alone, and then in 2030, it's going to be $30 billion hit to the economy. Well, what that essentially means is that that's going to be the lost economic activity here in Canada with the carbon tax compared to a scenario where we didn't have a carbon tax. So essentially, you can kind of look at it this. With a $12 billion hit to the economy this year, it means that we would be, as a country, $12 billion richer in terms of how much economic activity or economic output we would have this year if we didn't have a carbon tax. So as Gage said, that's like a cost to each person of hundreds of dollars in lost economic activity this year alone. And it's really not surprising that the carbon tax is costing the Canadian economy so much money. Newsflash, Canada is very reliant on our abundant natural resources. So this type of energy tax, a carbon tax, will reduce investment. It will have a particularly harmful impact on Canada's economy that is reliant on natural resources. And when we also talk about just like individuals' day-to-day life, well, Canada is a very cold country. Right. So not only do individuals have to stay warm during the winter to survive, but you also have like businesses that need to use natural gas. So they're impacted with the carbon tax. Or as Gage talks about all the time, you have farmers who need natural gas or propane to dry their grain and heat their barns. Right. So they're also impacted. Their economic activity is also impacted by the carbon tax. You know, when I was in university, I had a part-time job at a baseball academy. And like, you wouldn't even think of like in a baseball academy being impacted by the carbon tax, but just think about the different energy that the academy needed to use during the winter months so we could actually have people playing baseball inside. It's all these different types of businesses as well that people often don't think about who are also impacted by the carbon tax. And then, of course, like the final way to think of this is that Canada also has a very big and vast country. So the carbon tax will also provide a lot of damage, like just when you're shipping goods across provincial borders, or even in like this, if like from Lethbridge to Edmonton within the same province.
Okay, so there's a lot there. Very quickly, number one, you know I'm going to bring this up. Franco's a really good baseball player, and he's in the movie Interstellar. If you want to know where he is in it, just email him and ask. Sorry, that's
claim
how I
fame.
Introduce you.
Claim to fame.
I always introduce Franco to my friends this way, like not like I work with him, but he was in Interstellar. It's a really good movie. So back to the comparison here. So I understand. Let's do a yellow apple to red apple comparison. So say I'm in Montana and I want to start a factory producing something. And I look across the border to Alberta. I'm not that far away. Climate's really similar. The big difference here is I'll be paying a carbon tax through the nose if I were up in Alberta versus none in Montana. Therefore, I'm more likely to set it up in Montana. Is that kind of what we're dealing with here?
Oh, exactly. And that's where the farming example is really important, right? So I know tons of farmers down near the southern border in Saskatchewan. They have chicken farms, grain farms. They're paying tons of carbon tax every year to heat those barns, even just to dry the grain if it's been a wet season, which, you know, doesn't happen very often in southern Saskatchewan, but every once in a while. Then you hop across the border, you get to that North Dakota, you get to that Montana. There's similar size farms, similar costs generally, you know, it's all the Great Plains. But the thing is, they're not paying thousands of dollars every year in that carbon tax. So it just makes it harder for the farmers to make the money that they want to make so they can make all that food for us. Harder for them to expand if they don't have that couple extra grand to build a new barn, buy a new tractor, all that kind of stuff. And that means that farmers in Saskatchewan and Canada generally are losing out, especially compared to the states. And that causes that loss of economic activity, and that hurts all of us.
Yeah, big time.
Let me just jump in on this because I feel like this is a point that like it doesn't get discussed enough. I feel like it's only the Canadian Taxpayers Federation talking about it. But the World Bank, they have all this data about all the different countries that have a carbon tax. And surprise, surprise, the vast majority of countries do not have a national carbon tax. Okay, so the last time I looked at it, it was about more than 70% of countries out there don't have a national carbon tax. Like we bring up the obvious one, which is the United States, right? Our largest, what I believe they're probably still the largest economy in the world, our biggest trading partner, our biggest economic ally, but also a huge competitor of ours. Well, the US is one of the countries, one of the vast majority of countries that do not have a national carbon tax. You also have other larger emitting countries like Russia and India who don't have national carbon taxes. So when we talk about the lack of competitiveness, this is a real issue, especially when you consider the fact that Canada has, well, two carbon taxes at least now, and the vast majority of countries don't even have a single national carbon tax.
And I'm really glad we're putting a point on this because folks, of course, I think by now they realize how much is just costing them straight up at the pump. So if you're filling up a family minivan and you're heading on a vacation, that's costing you around $13 extra just in the carbon tax, not including GST. Light duty pickup truck, $20-ish. If you're a trucker filling up your big rig with diesel, Now you're clocking in at around $200 extra just in the carbon tax on your diesel charge. And now we're looking at this extra layer that we often talk about, which is the cost to the economy, the cost to the GDP of Canada, which is just intensifies it. So Franco or Gage, either of you can jump in on this. Do you think this will put to bed the idea that somehow magically the carbon tax makes everybody richer, or that the carbon tax actually costs you money? I think it's the latter. Obviously, do you think this will put that argument to bed, considering this is the government's own data and Guibeau definitely did not want to release it? It was dragged out of him.
Okay, well, yes and no. Okay, so actually, probably, I'm just going to probably say no, but for different reasons. So no from the government side, because they just want to spin. And I mean, what are they, like, I feel like the government is just like kind of baked in that calculation now, where they say, well, we kind of just have to mislead Canadians and keep repeating this myth that somehow everyone's better off with the carbon tax and rebate sham. Right. So I think I don't think that you're going to see these ministers. I don't think that you're going to see Trudeau. I don't think you're going to see them back off on that absolutely brutal talking point that has more holes in it than Swiss cheese. So and then another reason I also say no is because I think for Canadians outside of the political bubble within the Liberal headquarters, I think that conversation has already been put to bed. I don't think normal Canadians have ever bought it, because, like, look, first of all, the government charging a carbon tax. OK, then the government charges its GST on top of the carbon tax, a tax on tax. Then the government skims like $200 million off the top to pay for the bureaucrats to administer the carbon tax. So I think most Canadians outside of the government are saying, yeah, I don't buy it. There's no way you can impose a carbon tax, charge it sales tax on top of the carbon tax, skim a bunch of money off the top to pay for a bunch of bureaucrats, and somehow make everybody better off with rebates. So I don't think Canadians are even buy that spin anymore.
Gage, do you think this is going to change the opinion polls on the carbon tax in Saskatchewan?
You know, that's kind of the big point here. I think from day one, people in Saskatchewan knew it was a scam. As Franco talked about earlier, Saskatchewan's a big province. We drive a lot, you know, everybody goes up to the pump. They see how much more their gas is costing, and they see the tiny sum that they're getting back in rebates. They can do the basic math and see that Trudeau's taking a little bit more than he's giving back, at least from everyone in Saskatchewan. But you know, people aren't going to be supporting the carbon tax heavily from this data. And we're seeing more stuff to use in that argument to show that, I know it is costing everybody money. But Saskatchewanians have known that for a while.
I must say, it's pretty satisfying to have them not want to release this data and keep on saying these ridiculous things like it makes everybody richer, and then have it dragged out of them. And survey says it shows right there. No, it doesn't. Well, their own numbers.
Chris, you know, can I just add one other point on this? Because, like, Trudeau has already made the best case against his carbon tax and rebate. And he did that when he stood with his Atlantic caucus and announced that he's providing relief by taking the carbon tax off of furnace oil. So hold on a second. If the carbon tax makes you better off, then why are you providing relief by taking the carbon tax off of furnace oil? With that one admission, the whole idea that the carbon tax rebate is somehow putting money into people's pockets was killed. It was dead. It was dead. Trudeau basically admitted what everyone already knew, and that the carbon tax is making people's lives more expensive.
I want to know, I want to be a vase on the table when that decision was made. Like, was Guibeau overseas at a conference or something? Had they tied him up and thrown him in the back room where he couldn't get out? How is it? I need to know what the Atlantic Liberal Caucus did to get a hold of Trudeau within their own caucus and say, listen, bye, my residents are not going to be paying a carbon tax filling up their oil tanks. No siree, bub. We're not dealing with this. And I will also point out that it's the members of parliament within the Atlantic Caucus of the Liberal Party who are the old guard. You have several members of parliament in there that predate Trudeau being the leader. You have some Cretchen and Martin and John Manley type era liberals in there. And so I find that pretty interesting that it was that group that managed to get this carve out. And you're right, Franco. I think that's when this narrative really started to unravel. Because if it just magically makes everybody richer, then why are you giving these folks a carve out? They defeated their own argument there. Did we want to shift gears a little bit, but not too much, to the summer driving season and the cost of filling up our vehicles?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So This is the idea. Yes, we know that the Trudeau carbon tax is costing you big time money, as we've just explained. But did you also know that you pay a provincial fuel tax? So it's got nothing to do with Ottawa. It's got everything to do with, in this case, Edmonton and Regina. Gage, you and I just co-wrote a column. It should be in the newspapers relatively soon about what our premiers can do to reduce the cost of filling up.
So here's the thing, right? You know, we're thankful that both Premier Scott Moe and Danielle Smith regularly talk about how much the carbon tax is costing Albertans and Saskatchewanians when they go to the pump. And then they kind of leave out a slight other part that they're also making it the reason that the pumps are more expensive. So you go to Saskatchewan, they're paying 15 cents per liter in a provincial fuel tax. It's only 2 cents less than the carbon tax. We move over to Alberta, it's 13 cents per liter. So both these premiers know that the carbon tax hurts everyone. They're not trying to parrot some myth that it's making you better off, but they continue to both charge these fuel taxes. But those both governments could tomorrow step in, cut the fuel taxes, and give everybody at least some relief from that carbon tax and make it easier to fill up, but they're refusing to do so.
Yeah, and it's one of those weird situations, right? I'll just be candid, where both Danielle Smith, Premier Danielle Smith, and Premier Scott Moe, they say the right things when they're putting the boots to Trudeau, like for sure. Like Moe taking the carbon tax off of home heating, like that was a baller move, to borrow a phrase from Franco. But same thing, sort of thing with Danielle Smith, where, to be fair, she did the right thing for a year. She fully suspended the fuel tax here in Alberta. So we saved 13 cents per liter for an entire year. That saved us big time money. That's like 10 bucks a minivan, 15 bucks a pickup truck. Gage, you guys haven't gotten any relief over on your side of the border, not even one time and not even partially. And so this is where you get into this frustrating situation where the Alberta government likes to talk about lower taxes or tax cuts for all Albertans or the Alberta advantage. Okay, number one, we still haven't seen our Alberta income tax reduction, which was a huge election promise. And number two, we are paying full freight on our fuel tax right now. And I've gotten no calls saying, hey, by the way, we're cutting the tax. It sounds like they're going to keep this thing through for the whole summer. And you get into this frustrating situation, whereas as a tax fighter, you want to just level with the premier when she's yelling at Prime Minister Trudeau saying, lady, I will help you throw shoes at this man. I understand, but you have to fix it here at home too. And so that's where we're really urging both the premier here in Alberta, and I would say for Gage there in Saskatchewan, why aren't they giving this fuel tax relief? Do you think that they've just got enough cover fire because of Trudeau and his big bad carbon tax that they think that nobody will notice?
Well, I think that's what they're thinking, but it really is really frustrating, right? Because you look at some other provinces that you don't think is tax cutting champions in the traditional sense. You know, you look at Manitoba, Premier Wab Canoe there, he cut his fuel tax fully starting January 1st and recently extended it. So Manitoba drivers are saying 14 cents per liter. You keep going east, you see Ontario, Doug Ford's had a gas tax cut in for a long time. You go even further east and you get to Newfoundland and Labrador, where their Liberal premier has almost cut their gas tax for 3 years running for a big chunk of that and getting those people those savings. But places that people, you know, you like to think that they're tax cutting champions, some sort of helping out the drivers, getting some affordability out there. Well, we're being left out in Saskatchewan and Alberta.
Yeah, and they can't afford it. I often get the pushback saying, oh, well, you know, do you want balanced budgets or not? Number one, our surplus in Alberta was so thin, you could basically see through it. It was like a transparent kitten's whisker. And there in Saskatchewan, I think you guys have a deficit. So I'm not really sure how much that argument works. Franco, feel free to chime in here as you're, you know, we usually pick on your neighborhood in Ottawa, but here we're actually teaming up on the provinces.
No, you know, I agree. And I'm glad Gage brought in the point where, you know, fuel tax relief has really become like a multi-partisan way of actually making people's lives more affordable, right? You mentioned Canoe in Manitoba, that's an NDP government. You have Fury in Newfoundland and Labrador, which is a Liberal government. And then you also have the progressive conservatives under Premier Doug Ford, who's also been cutting and extending his gas tax relief. So pretty unfortunate to hear, you know, Moe and Smith rightly criticize the Trudeau government for making life more expensive with the carbon tax hike, and then also make life more expensive with their own provincial government with the provincial fuel tax being all the way up at the moment. you know, I'll just go back to throwing rocks, or what is it, throwing shoes, as Simmer, as you said, because, you know, at the federal level, too, not only are you paying a carbon tax, but you're also paying a federal fuel tax, which is 10 cents per liter of gasoline. And then to make life even worse, you're paying what I've already kind of talked about, this GST tax on tax, where they tax your fuel and then they tax those taxes by adding the GST on top. And that's a huge cost. Like, the GST on the carbon tax alone will cost Canadians more than $6 billion by the end of 2030. So, you know, if governments are out there right now looking at a way to probably get into taxpayers' good books, well, there's a couple things you could do. If you're a provincial government, I would say axe your fuel tax. If you're the federal government, step number one, remove the GST tax on tax. But you can also get brownie points by scrapping your fuel tax, at least temporarily.
Yeah, truer words. Did we want to get to our taxpayer pro tips? This is a special moment at the end of each taxpayer podcast where we try to give professional-ish advice to folks who need it. Who wants to start?
Well, I will jump in. Okay. At the time of recording, we just had a by-election in Toronto, downtown Toronto riding, a liberal stronghold. They've had that riding for literally decades. And what just happened is that the Conservatives just won that riding. And so my taxpayer pro tip goes out to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. And look, I'm not even going to pretend like I'm a political strategist or a political hack. I'm really not. But I don't think you need a PhD in political science to figure this one out. Look, if you want to turn the ship around, if you want to reconnect with the middle class that you initially ran for back in 2015, according to your own campaign slogans, well, you're going to need more than just some lipstick on a pig. You're going to need to do more than just change your communication style, because right now the communications is not your issue. Your big issue is that your government is making life more expensive for Canadians, whether it's the capital gains tax increase that just came into effect that I'm pretty sure some people in that Toronto riding were not fans of, or whether it's the carbon tax that is facing, you know, widespread opposition across Canada, or whether it's just the fact that you're running crazy deficits and also spending like crazy. I think if you really want to reconnect with the middle class, then you have to acknowledge that your policies, your taxes, your deficits, your debt are making life more expensive. And you actually have to do the hard work to change course on your policies, taxes, and spending.
Amen. Yeah, it's not about wordcraft anymore. It's about dollars and cents most of the time. Gage, what was your taxpayer pro tip?
So my taxpayer pro tip actually goes out to, you know, the taxpayers of the country, all the politicians. You know, they're usually spending time in the provincial or federal capitals, debating laws, doing all that stuff, hiking our taxes, the things that politicians do. But now they're basically all out of session and they're going to be at home in their ridings. And that means summer barbecues for MLAs and MPs. So if you're a taxpayer and you're fed up with something, say, you know, the carbon tax could be a problem. Sometimes an email doesn't quite hit the same way when you're emailing your politician. But if you show up to the barbecue and you let your misgivings be known to your elected member of parliament or MLA and say, hey, the carbon tax is costing me this amount of money, it might be a little bit easier to change their mind that way, or at least put the thought in their head that some of these things they're doing are costing you a lot. And the best way to do that is to head to those barbecues and tell them to their face.
That's interesting, because my pro tip is on the other side of that conversation, and it is to members of parliament and MLAs provincially, and that is to encourage them that you may feel a little bit daunted going back to your ridings and facing the people, but you got to do it. Number one, it's your job. Okay, you are the servant of the public. Okay, those folks in your riding are your constituents. They're also your future voters. So if you want to keep your job and keep your folks happy, just, you know, swallow it and get up there and talk to them. And I also encourage them to do so because it helps them reconnect with real people. Now, as great as your staff might be, I'm talking directly to you politicians, your staff work for you, okay? Their paycheck depends on whether or not you're happy, okay? So that will get you into this cycle of yes, man, okay? Or yes, ma'am, all the time. And you wind up having a circle of people who are always agreeing with you, even if, for example, you're losing a critical by-election, even if you are raising fuel taxes and people are lining up at food banks while you're chewing on lamb shanks and flying overseas. You can become out of touch with normal people. And so that would just earnestly encourage those politicians, those who aren't even that prominent, to actually, you know, swallow that fear, get out there and talk directly to people. You'll have some uncomfortable conversations, but you will be a much better politician and a much better member of the representative class than you would be otherwise. So do get out of your bubble, get out from under the dome, get out there and talk to people for the summer. Franco, any famous last words as far as this data goes? Can folks go to our website and take a look at our news release, I think, here? Because there was a lot of stuff there that Gage had.
Yeah, head over to taxpayer.com, folks. Check out our newsroom tab, and you can see more information on this, but a lot of other good taxpayer stories that we're digging up and putting out constantly.
Awesome, folks. Head on over to taxpayer.com and join the army.